And welcome to the Tales of the Long Box podcast. This is episode 314, spotlight on DC Comics Supergirl number 12, circa 2017. And I'm Chris Mosby.
And I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm totally awake.
Yeah. And I am Murray Fox.
Murray, I was going to ask you, did you ever get out of the car in the rain, or are you still stuck in the car right now?
I made it out.
Okay, good.
I made it out. There was like a lull in the storm.
Okay, good. I was hoping I wouldn't have to make a trip to Canada to help you out. I would have done it if I had to, but you know.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so anyway.
Hey, speaking of Canada, we had this discussion last night.
Uh-huh.
And this actually, where does Caillou live?
Ooh, France.
France?
No idea what you're talking about.
Count your lucky stars.
Oh, okay. Good deal.
I'm pretty sure he's French. I don't think he's French-Canadian. I don't want Canada to claim that. Ugh.
Okay.
Oh, you see, we were convinced that Caillou is the Canadian import down here to our... And we actually thought it was a practical joke that you guys were playing on us.
Oh, okay.
Oh yuck.
Okay.
No.
Sure
yeah. I mean, he might be Canadian. Ooh,
okay.
I'd have to Google that, but I have a feeling he's
French.
Like okay. French.
Okay.
Not okay. Quebec,
well,
French.
Chris, if you're really that curious, and you want to learn to hate a little child,
okay.
Google or YouTube some Caillou sometime.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I got enough hate to go around. I'll hold on to that for later, maybe.
You'll find new levels, because not only will you hate this child, but you'll hate a sick child.
Oh, so. That's too bad. Well, okay.
We don't know that he's sick. Just because he's
bald. We were drafting up an extra special Caillou episode last night. It would be the last Caillou episode. It's the one where all his friends are coming to visit him in his cancer deathbed.
Oh, my.
He's a monster.
That sounds interesting for sure.
It would go on Adult Swim.
Where in the world is my...
Robot chicken it.
Robot chicken? Okay, sweet. Okay.
Okay, so it's not Canadian. Okay. Sorry to mean to
play. I mean, it might be. I gotta find out now. I would hate to have to lay claim to that as part of my Canadian heritage.
Okay, well,
origins
if not, then...
of Caillou.
Yes, derailed.
All right.
Caillou is the French word for pebble.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's not what I'm looking for.
This is important, Chris.
Hey, no problem, man. I was just going to say, while you're looking that up...
Oh, no. It is a Canadian educational children's television series. Oh, that's horrible.
Anyway, I was just going to remind everyone.
What province did Caillou claim? Is it? Hopefully it's not yours.
Oh, it's a Canadian that was first shown on Teletoon, and Teletoon was its first airing on... Based on the books by Hélène Desputeaux. Oh,
it's
I like
books,
illustrations. So... Yeah, that's a series of books.
Okay, so maybe it is French. Maybe you can
country
ultimately
of
give
origin
the
Canada original languages French and English. Oh, yuck! Yuck!
I'm so sorry for your loss, man.
Oh man. Oh yeah. Okay. Well,
right.
We get to claim him.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Well, I'm gonna have to research where he came from then, in terms of what part of Canada can be held responsible. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I totally derailed, but
fine.
And I didn't want to. I'm sorry, Murray, for shattering your morning.
That's awful. And 1997. So that was just a couple years before the kid was born. So we got to see Caillou because we had to watch it. So he was like in its prime. We were catching it. Ugh, ugh, gross.
We all had to watch it. We all had to watch it, Murray. It's all...
Oh, I didn't know, have to watch it.
We didn't. Like, we didn't let Barney in the house. We never, ever had to watch that.
Oh, dear God, no. No Barney.
But Caillou somehow slipped through the censors.
Well, oh well.
It's a good point, because we didn't let Barney in either, and yet Caillou made it, along with Teletubbies and Boobas. But,
ooh.
Yes, my, the nephew's father, I should say biological donor, I should say, didn't want them watching Dora because, you know, Dora was Spanish, so. Let's not get started on that.
I guess we know how he voted.
Yes, yes we do.
Anywhere near Charlottesville last night?
Hopefully, no telling. I know he looks like, I mean, he's only got two or three teeth, so he fits right in with those people.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go down that road, but I did. So, anyway.
Look at the time.
I was just going to remind everybody that we frequently spoilers. Sometimes it's stuff that's old, but this time it's just, this just came out this week, or technically last week, if you subscribe to the Saturday's the end of the week, Sunday's the beginning of the week, depending on how you look at that. Anyway, I have not read this, but I did read of some about it, a little snippet on Newsarama about it, so I know what it entails, so... and hopefully we're not stealing our favorite people over at the Legion of Substitute Heroes stick this week. and as for various reasons.
We've scooped them.
Scooped them? Okay.
I just hope that it's better than most of Steve Orlando's latest stuff. So that's the
Yeah, I guess
I haven't read a lot of Steve Orlando stuff.
The most
his new Justice League is boring.
It was good to start, but yeah, I agree. I stopped reading it. I mean, I liked it at first, but I stopped, and now that this latest issue that came out is they're going after the Atom, we think. I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but I did not. Well, let's just say I procured it, and I'm planning on reading it later. So,
Search for Ray Palmer.
Yes. Part D.
And his yeah. Electric so hopefully again... This is better than Steve Orlando's latest stuff. And what was that other thing? He did that, what was it? Who's that Wildstorm guy, that Batman knockoff?
Midnighter.
Yeah, Midnighter. He did that, which was pretty half-assed.
That wasn't all that great, no.
Nope.
Okay, so who's doing this one?
I'll do it.
Yay, Murray.
All righty. So we got Supergirl. Did we look at the Rebirth issue of Supergirl?
I feel like maybe we did. I think we may have. If not, then this will count.
Okay. Well, either way, the status quo has been reset since the last time I looked in on this book.
Yeah, I believe it has, yes.
Yeah, very much. It's it's hewing close to the TV show.
Yeah, they...
Close.
When they did the Rebirth, yeah, they really made it like it, so...
I think the only thing they're lacking in this comic book is the Black Jimmy Olsen.
And a hunky Mon-El. No hunky Mon-El in this issue.
Oh yeah, I need to catch up on that. I stopped watching all of them, all the superhero stuff. I don't know. Too busy.
Keepers.
Okay.
Okie doke. Anyway, we got to cover Supergirl, and I like the logo.
Yeah, it's slightly...
I like that it's like a copy of the Superman logo, because they used to do it that way, and then they kind of...
Yeah, that's
it up
the...
And jazzed it up, and...
That's actually the New 52 logo still, I think.
Didn't the New 52 have, like, a real zigzaggy S?
Yes, it did.
Like a Z.
Yeah, it was styled that way.
I like this logo better.
I like that pointy's at the end.
Yes,
like the
pointy hook.
The point. Yeah, anyhow.
Oh, on her ass. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so we got Supergirl here. She's on the cover. She's staring down somebody, and they're shooting green laser beams at her. Mm-hmm. That's about it for the cover.
Nope.
She's looking pretty distressed.
She's like,
The other cover's cool.
Yeah, I like it too.
Oh, I haven't seen the other cover.
It's almost a photorealistic cartooning of her in the fist raised, the other fist at her side, cape flowing behind her, skirt just kind of Marilyn Monroe-ing up a little bit.
Yeah, it's makes me think of anime.
Oh, gotcha.
A little bit, yeah. That's good.
That's kind of that kind of look, yeah.
Alrighty. So, we got Supergirl here. We'll get into the book, and this is by, I guess they'll tell us eventually, Steve Orlando Robson Rocha?
Rocha.
I think.
I like the art, though.
And,
The very, very first...
Daniel Henrique?
The very first issue of this after Rebirth was very cartoony, and I like this a lot better.
Do you see? I get it, but I kind of like the other. I mean, I get why they didn't stick with the other artist, I guess, but yeah, I kind of liked them.
Well, the one thing I really dug in here was the lettering. Just I know that sounds silly, but it's funny the way they throw in the sound effects lettering.
No, that's cool. Excellent. All parts of the comic may be admired as necessary, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm glad they got rid of the stupid-looking boots from the new 52. I hadn't noticed that before. The ones with the knees gone.
That's right. The knee cutouts.
Which was so stupid-looking. I'm glad they got rid of that. So I don't know when that happened. I might have missed it at one point. But, yeah.
I wonder if that was like a practical thing, though. Like, knees that go past, or boots that go past your knees, if you're bending your legs, I would bet that would be uncomfortable. So, like, with the knees cut out, maybe it's easier to move.
I don't know. I've worn leggings to keep my, and I know she's not wearing it for this purpose, but for my calves, and they do go up past my knees, and it feels okay. It's fine.
Okay. All right, then.
All right. Well, good to know. I do not know.
And in my ballet days, no, I'm kidding. There was no ballet days.
You ballet days.
Gotcha.
You caught me on that one, man. You got me on that one.
Snuck that in. I didn't think anyone would pay attention.
No, that's funny. I like it.
All right. So for someone who hasn't read the series in a long while, this is a pretty easy book to pick up and get into. You didn't need to know a lot of the backstory, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think.
No.
So it starts with Supergirl and perhaps Cat Grant standing on a balcony, and Cat Grant takes out a giant laser gun and zaps Supergirl. I tried so hard to find a use for you. No, Miss Grant, do not. Kablam, Zappo. And Supergirl is falling off the balcony because there's no use for her.
Okay.
Bumble boom. However, at the same time, Cat Grant is also halfway across the city, delivering a speech, letting the world know that she's just about ready to open up her own news empire.
That's a different artist.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Okay, never mind. Looks like one to me, but I could be wrong. Never mind.
Alrighty. So Cat Grant has moved from the Daily Planet's gossip columnist, and now her Catco company is starting up a new news agency, Catco Reporting, software available on any platform. It's a news community. Any Catco user can be a reporter in real time to the whole world. No delays, no spin, no smoke. I would guess if anyone can upload stuff, there'll be some spin.
And the tons and tons of smoke.
Yeah. However, maybe Cat Grant has got that worked out, and she's figuring out how to edit all that stuff. However, that's neither here. That's not even part of the story. I mean, it's part of the story, but who cares, really? It's just the setup for the setting. Supergirl.
Yes. It's showing that she's in two places at the same time.
Yeah. And she needs to have Cat Grant there because Cat Grant's in the TV show. So here we go. We'll slide her in there. And it does. It definitely shows that Cat Grant is in two places at once, which is impossible. Then we flash back to the Ordman building. Ordman. Ooh, Jerry Ordway.
Yep.
Marv Wolfman.
Oh. Makes sense.
I think that's probably it.
I would imagine so.
Okay.
Maybe.
I
don't know any other Ordmans. I'm just guessing.
That's probably right. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Supergirl's like, Miss Grant shot me. No, it cannot. Wait, there was just a balcony here. It was right here seconds ago. But it's gone, except the air feels strange, numbing. I was shot. Miss Grant, and she's using her super hearing, and she hears that Miss Grant is at the opening of her Catco company, which is miles away. And so Supergirl's confused. She's like, I hear her, but it was not an illusion. I absorbed some type of blast. It is hard to focus. I hear everything more than usual. And then we get little panels of her hearing every sound around her, which is causing her a little bit of distress. And then she makes some weird ass fly away move, which looks super painful.
I would think so, yes.
It's like those people who dive off the stationary platform in the Olympics.
I guess so. Ouch. Ouch. Anyway, she turns in midair and starts flying away. I almost feel good, but it's too much energy. Too much noise. I can barely think straight. Need to tell Jeremiah and Eliza, which I guess you probably have to have a bit of background knowledge, because if you don't know who they are, mm-hmm. this book doesn't really tell you. But if you've got at least a passing knowledge of the Supergirl TV show, you'll know that Jeremiah and Eliza are the people that adopted her, mm-hmm. as opposed to the Danvers, who have been long sent packing. Well, no, these guys are still Danvers, aren't they?
Yeah, those Jeremiah are the Eliza
Danvers.
Pretty sure those are the Danvers, yeah.
Different first names. Yeah. I'm just thinking Silver Age. They had different first names. They weren't Jeremiah exactly. or Eliza.
No, they were not.
But
sorry.
They're still Danvers. There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, she needs to tell her adoptive parents. And she goes flying off, but she's flying so fast that she creates a sonic boom and crashes
all the
windows around her.
Sonic. It even says sonic boom.
That is a nice touch, I will admit.
Yes. And the people down on the streets are totally worried because they're all about to get sliced up by the glass. Except Supergirl uses her heat vision and burns it all up and says, my powers are overloaded somehow. I cannot. My alarm. I will fail out if I miss more school. Whatever is wrong. Rayo, help me. I have to get through class. That is dedication. I need more students like that, let me tell you. More students that would rather be in class than save the world.
Okay. That's one way. That's one way to look at it.
Well, save National City.
What has the world done for me lately?
There you go.
Kick me in the crotch. Sarah, that's pretty much what it's done to me. Sorry.
And we have a little flashback. We have a little not flashback. We have a little flash sideways?
Sideways? Yeah, sideways.
To Gotham City, Arkham Asylum, Solomon Grundy cell. And we get the Emerald Empress talking to some chickypoo named Selina. Work your spell, Selina. Our path to history starts here, and it goes through Supergirl. In my present, your future. The Emerald Eye showed me our final defeat by Saturn Girl. I had to strike before she destroyed me. I hunted her across time to Arkham. Her mind touched mine. She revealed the truth. The vision was a lie. Someone wanted me to kill Saturn Girl, but she wasn't the one who would destroy me. It was Supergirl, just as she will destroy all of you in time, unless we stop her. And while she's doing the monologuing, we see Solomon Grundy. He's all kind of trapped in Arkham. And
wasn't he born on a Monday?
Yes, he was.
Sorry, I had to say it.
Yes, he was. A little green slip of energy snips off some of his hair, and then his hair starts floating out of Arkham, and I'm assuming the hair is being regrown into another Solomon Grundy.
That's how it looks, yeah. Along with clothes.
That's very possible.
Along with clothes.
Okay, I missed that before.
Yeah, it's like a little green dude flying away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Outside of the Arkham Asylum there. And this page I kind of like because it ties into Rebirth in a subtle, ties into Rebirth in a way in that we know why the Emerald Empress is here.
Yep.
Although we kind of knew, I think, from the JLA Suicide Squad that she was here hunting Saturn Girl for some reason.
Yes.
Yes.
But this gives us a few more details in that she realized, or she thought she was going to be defeated by Saturn Girl. But instead...
Yeah, I don't think that was in the JLA...
No, so it gives us, like, just one more tiny scrap of information about why these Legionnaires and villains are in the 21st century.
Yeah, and it's interesting who we have on here, too. If you read Nightwing, this isn't the first time a Gog has shown back up.
Ooh. So let's get to that page.
Yeah.
So
sorry, I thought I was
Fatal Five.
Yeah.
Flips over and we've got the new Fatal Five, and you know
my Fatal Five. Mm-hmm.
Yes, her Fatal Five. She's good at recruitment. She can build a Fatal Five.
Yep.
As she has done many times in the past. So this Fatal Five is Selina, who I'm not familiar with, who I guess is some sort of sorceress, witch, or whatever.
I'd have to look it up, but you're right.
I don't know who she is. Solomon Grundy, who's kind of taken over the Validus role.
Yep.
Magog, who...
Persuader.
He's, yeah, for sure, the Persuader.
Or maybe Psyroc.
I think probably Indigo is more Therox. She's got, like, the brain... She's got the Brainiac connection, right?
Yes, I believe she does. Which, yeah, you're probably right.
And then so we have Selena's, the Empress.
Yeah, Selena's kind of I don't know if they're going to do... They can't do one-for-ones, but the closest... I mean, again, Magog would go Persuader. Solomon Grundy would be Validus. Indigo would be Therok. And then Selena, I guess, would be Mono?
I guess.
I don't know.
I guess. Either way, we got the Fatal Five. They're standing there, and they take out the prison guard.
Fatally.
Go on their way. Fatally. Yeah, well, they are. They are the Fatal Five. And you were saying Magog appeared in...
Yes. Yeah, there was an episode, issue where Nightwing was kind of trapped into a Bloodsport type event, and it had a whole bunch of villains, and he was one of them.
Gotcha.
Something that we haven't seen since New 52.
Alrighty, so he's back. She's got her five. And we flash over to the National City Technical High School, where Kara is wearing her brown wig, and she's doing some sort of science experiment with her teacher. But her powers are still out of whack. She can hear every single sound, and it is giving her one wicked headache. Is something wrong, Miss Danvers? Kara? No, I'm fine. And then she starts screaming, and the teacher suggests she should see the nurse, so she runs out into the hallway, and the school bell rings, and it's super loud, and she just kind of stamps her foot and says, enough, and she kind of stamps right through the whole floor of the school.
Okay, I got to do an aside, and I apologize. I deeply apologize, but Selina is the villain from the Supergirl movie.
Oh, I was just about to look that up.
She was the witch that she fights in the Supergirl movie.
That is pretty cool.
That's
actually
a deep cut.
That is. I my guess is they probably have put her into the comic books at some point. I mean, clearly, but. I couldn't not point that out.
There we go. Cool, that's man. Cool.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, she may get a better showing in this book than she did in the movie. Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So this is, you know, typical high school, I guess. You got a kid in the middle of the hallway, hanging on to the floor for their life, and all the students are around, taking pictures, Instagramming, Snapchatting it, getting their Facebook profile updated.
Kids.
And while Supergirl is hanging on to the floor there, some dude comes rushing through the hallway saying, what the hell's wrong with you guys? The floor collapsed. Soft spot for your coworker, Ruble, office romance. He just says, you're an idiot, Kurt. Get out of the way. And he bends down and he helps Supergirl up. Do you need any help? And she says, keep away, Ben. I do not want to hurt you. I'm not too worried about that. Just grab my hand. It might be dangerous. Then I'll just have to trust you, he whispers. Let's go. Which leads me to think that maybe he knows more about Kara than
mm-hmm.
Kara wants him to know. But we don't really get that confirmed in the book. But it's a little... It's, I don't know, it's certainly where my mind went. I kind of think he's like the Pete Ross of the...
Yeah, that would make sense.
Absolutely. Except they're not particularly friendly, it sounds like. What was that, Kara? You were like speaking in tongues. I must have been rambling. Got hit with a migraine. They make it hard to think. Uh-huh. A headache never broke the floor. Well, you said it, Ben. The floor collapsed on itself. They renovated this place last year. I was covering for you. Do I owe you for this one, too? Owe me? What? That was different at Catco. I mean, maybe I probably shouldn't have said that. We were both up for the same position. So clearly they've had history, right? There's some sort of frenemy thing going on here. But again, you don't really need to know the background. You just need to know that they're sort of friends. She's got a bit of an ally.
Yes, okay.
In this dude.
Indigo is also known as Brainiac 8.
Ooh, there we go. There we go. They've all been slotted into their role.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So this dude says, turns out you're okay. I don't want you falling into a hallway abyss, at least. These fools don't need the satisfaction. Well, thank you, Ben. I am not feeling well, but I will make it. I will be okay. And do not worry. Boom, boom, boom. Turn page. Miss Grant will never know you showed mercy. So then we cut to Miss Grant's apartment, and she's ragging on somebody for not doing their job quickly enough, good enough, best enough. And while she's jibber-jabbering on the phone, Selena shows up, whoosh, in a bunch of green mist. And I love this scene. Kat's like, hold on, someone's in my apartment begging for a restraining order. Selena says, you think you're powerful? I've known power since you were a vodka-fueled question on the tip of your parents' tongues. My name is Selena. I don't know who you are, but no one denigrates vodka like that in my home. Your media empire supports Supergirl. Starting today, we put her and everyone she knows to the boot, including you. And Kat says, really? In those boots? Kat, fearless, right to the end. Or maybe not the end. We don't know. That's all we see.
Pre-crisis, was she like that? I mean, I don't remember.
She wasn't quite like that.
I don't know if she was pre-crisis.
She definitely was.
Pre-crisis? I think she was a post-crisis invention.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
But either way, I think she was sassy, but I don't know that she was sassy enough to stand
she
up.
She wasn't
to,
like that, no.
To villains like that, but they're certainly taking a page from the TV show there, because
yeah, I thought she was like the Steve Lombard, but female Steve Lombard.
I kind of think so. I think she was like a sexed up flirt.
Huh. Apparently, Cat Grant won't be in season 3 of Supergirl. I was looking up the character and just saw that. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, she'll show up. She'll guest star. Don't you worry.
Well, yeah, she won't be just like every episode.
Yeah, live off of Harrison Ford's money forever.
I know, they're going to need it now that Harrison Ford is out of the series.
Yeah.
Jeepers, creepers.
Yes, she is post-crisis. You are correct, sir.
She's got to be the breadwinner.
What is he going to do?
I know. Jinkies.
Go back to carpentry.
All right, so we flash downtown where Magog and Solomon Grundy show up on top of a roof, and Grundy's still feeling he's not quite himself because he's just been cloned from his hair, so he's still feeling, he's not doing a lot of talking, let me tell you. Magog does all the talking. Are you confused, Grundy? Sure. Selena grew you from the real Grundy's hair. How much intellect can you expect from a zombie follicle? But at least you know how to hurt people, and you'll listen to whatever we say.
All right, then.
Uh-huh. My family died while the Justice League fought Darkseid. Gods fighting gods. Humans lose. All deities are my enemy. That's why I took the name Magog. The Emerald Empress showed me my future, my line. My descendants will die at the hands of Supergirl and her space gods. Unless they're not there in the future.
Don't know if they ever got a Magog origin or not.
Well, if not, now we got one.
Yeah, I think it's
a New redone. 52 Rebirth Universe.
Yeah, I believe you're right, sir.
Mm-hmm. Tying it into the Justice League.
Mm-hmm. I think he's not that soldier guy that from Justice Society.
No, Gog was after that. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Oh no, yeah, this is supposed to be that. It depends on which Earth you're looking at, because they're showing it. Magog is a superhero, descendant of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. David Reed is a cybernetically enhanced super soldier who wields a powerful energy lance. He first appeared in Kingdom Come, Volume 1, Elseworlds. And it's like his name is tonight out of Gog. Yes, yes. Okay, so it is.
He was born on Monday.
Yes, he was.
Alrighty, then we got Supergirl. She is at the local DEO headquarters.
Yes.
Where she must be working or something. And she's talking to her father, who's in a sensory tank getting rebuilt, I guess.
He's a cyborg Superman.
Yeah,
cyborg Superman.
In this universe, yeah. Well, he was, but Henry Henshaw's back in the Superman title, so.
But yeah, this is the Zor-El version of the cyborg.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's being rebuilt or restored or maybe just brought back to health. Supergirl's mainly using him just as a talking point here. She's talking about how she feels like she's going under skin. She's nervous. She should have Dr. Veritas examine her, and she will, but right now it's dangerous, and I don't know, it sounds crazy maybe, but I wanted to talk to you. They replaced your mechanics with the life support polymer. Your brain is functioning normally. I can see it. So I know you can talk, you just won't. I think I'm in trouble, Dad. I don't know who else to tell. Eliza and Jeremiah have never dealt with this. Chase barely trusts me. Even with all you've done, I thought maybe you would care. But not today, I suppose.
Yeah, see, I read some of those issues. He was trying to bring Krypton back to Earth and thought humans were inferior and yada, yada, yada. Much like Vindicator and the current Cyborg Superman, so.
Gotcha. Then we flash back to downtown where Magog zaps Grundy with like a little Emerald Empress Selena device thingy that turns Solomon Grundy from a big monster to a giant monster. He creaks and snaps and becomes huge.
Yep, just like the original villain is now.
And Supergirl then tells her father, I'm not going to ever stop coming. You may not think you deserve my help, but you do. And then she, of course, hears that people need help. So she's like, later, Daddy-O, we'll talk later. And she flies off to the downtown. Oh, no, not yet. Because first we meet Director Chase, Cameron Chase. DEO's office.
Looking a lot less butch than you normally think of Cameron Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a little haughty.
Yep.
Alrighty, so she's in her office. The Emerald Empress appears. And they have a bit of a shootout, which goes nowhere. And Chase says, this building locks down in 15 seconds. What do you want? Information, Cameron Chase.
There is something I was wondering whether they were going to actually name it the Emerald Eye of Ekron again. There it is right there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They do indeed.
Ooh. Why were you wondering that?
I'm not sure if they were just going to call it the Emerald Eye, but that Emerald Eye of Ekron was way before that 52 weekly series, though, right?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Like back in the 60s they named it that.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm
pretty sure.
Because that's what I was thinking of, and I'd forgotten that was before that.
Okay. That would come, if not from her first appearance, it's got to be early on.
Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Well, like, they played around with whether her green energy comes from, like, the Green Lantern energy, I think.
They pretty much confirmed it in that 52 weekly series, though.
But that's old continuity.
Yes, I know. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's not going to be current, because they're bringing a lot of stuff back. Right. So that's why I was wondering if they were going to actually name it that. But whether they link it to Green Lantern again, that's a whole other story. Okay.
I feel like they touched on it a little bit in the Suicide Squad Emerald Empress.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Suicide Squad Emerald Empress. Suicide Squad JLA crossover. I thought there was something they did. I don't know that they explicitly stated it, but they implied there was some kind of connection, I think.
Yeah, that would make sense. Very interesting.
Don't make me reread that, because I refuse.
No, that's fine.
Alrighty, so Supergirl is zooming down as best she can, even though her powers are out of control, and she crashes into downtown, and I like how when she crashes, she lets out her breath, as you would, and it's like her cold breath, and she just kind of happens to freeze whatever's nearby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't notice that. I was wondering what that was.
I just noticed that now. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Anyway, she's crashed. She's sitting on the ground just in time to watch Solomon Grundy tear up the town. Mm. He's going at it, which is, of course, cliffhanger, The Girl of No Tomorrow, Part 1. Next, in Supergirl Annual Number 1, The Grip of Grundy.
Okay.
Really?
And I was looking at this up.
Inky.
That first artist that was on the Supergirl series, he left, and this guy that we're seeing here is a replacement. So.
Okay. I feel like we had a Supergirl Annual, didn't we? Already?
I don't know.
Batgirl Annual. Yes. Yes, there was that one with the... Or was that had that Batgirl story in there and the prison story?
Mm. Yeah, was that a Batgirl annual maybe?
Maybe, that's possible. That's a good point. Yeah, you know what? Because it also had the Nightwing story in there. It was the Batgirl.
Oh, right.
Batgirl. Yeah. Good point.
So I guess this is continuing in the Supergirl annual.
Looks like it. Back in the good old days, back when they would.
I was just reading a while ago that they canceled the Green Arrow annual for now.
I guess the series just ain't hitting the target.
Well, it was good at the beginning, but
it might still be good. I don't know.
I've been reading it. It's been kind of silly. He's like going around meeting all the other superheroes and trying to, instead of just dealing with where he was at, he's like they're calling hard traveling hero, and he's trying to take down this big organization wherever they're at. And it's just a meandering story to me.
So back to this. I have to geek for a moment. And I suppose that's the point of this whole thing, but So we've seen Saturn Girl, we've seen Emerald Empress.
Yes.
We are soon to see someone named Phantom Girl coming through.
Right.
In the 21st century. So we're getting the slow bleed into Legion stuff.
It really looks like they're going to do it slowly, which I think is a good idea.
2 years later.
Well, I think it's a good idea, because trying to jump back into it, it's just going to fail again. And in a slow build-up, they got people, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are fans of it that might not be flag bearers or, you know, waivers or whatever you want to call it, but there is a lot of people that are fans, so, and I remember when they had the rebirth thing, that was almost one of the very first things, if not, you know, very close to it, that John's mentioned in that broadcast. was the Legion is coming back when, you know, when it's time. So I was, you know, glad to hear it for sure.
I would like to see it. I would it spin out of like not metal, but well, metal's going to go on into next year. So maybe they could spin it out of metal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Looks like that might be more of a New Gods thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe. So either we'll way. See.
Well, Phantom
plans.
Remember, Phantom Girl is supposed to be in that new thing with Plastic Man and Mr. Terrific. She's supposed to be one of those characters.
The Terrifics.
Yes, the Terrifics. Uh-huh. And though it was said by, I forget, whoever the writer is, it's not that Phantom Girl, supposedly. But that doesn't mean she won't become that Phantom Girl.
Right. And it could be, we could be having flashbacks to LEGION.
Yes, exactly. So,
FaZe? Was that her name, FaZe?
Yes.
In, yeah, that was her.
I forget how they did that, too.
Convolutedly.
Yes, it seems like it was. That's correct. So.
Well, it started off fairly simple, I think.
Yeah, I didn't read it at the time, so I'm not really sure how it worked.
It was very simple, but then you're right. It did. They had to convolute it because both characters had to coexist.
Like originally she was Phantom Girl, sent to the past.
Yes.
Without her memory.
I remember
and
that.
Then eventually they rebooted the Legion.
Yes.
And when they rebooted the Legion, she could no longer be Phantom Girl sent to the past.
Yeah, she ended up being.
So they turned her into her cousin, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And then they realized, hey, we could send Phantom Girl to the past. So then they made her Phantom Girl again. But she was.
Wasn't she also part Big Zillion or something like that?
Well,
or?
That was the thing. So when they rebooted the Legion, Phantom Girl was. I think Phantom Girl's mom had an affair with a. With not a Derlin.
Oh wow!
Big Zillion.
No. She's from Big.
Oh no! You're right. You're right. From
with the Duo Damsel people, the Karg people, Kargians.
Right. Oh.
But I think Phantom Girl's mom had an affair with Kargian, right. And then Phantom Girl was really triplets. And one of them died, and one of them got sent to the past, and one of them stayed in the 20th. Or in the...
Wow, that is convoluted.
Anyway, that's when it got. But, I mean, in the end, she was still. FaZe was still Tinya. She was just a rebooted Tinya from a different. It was like she went from Earth 1 Tinya to Earth 2 Tinya with a side trip of being her cousin in between there. But, yeah, it got a little complicated.
For keeping track of this shit.
Yeah. It's complicated, but it's not like Hawkman or Dawn of Troy complicated. It's just
true.
Regular complicated.
Regular complicated. Gotcha.
Yeah. There are layers of complications.
Well, thank you for reminding
me. Too.
I didn't know that they were going to this territory, so I had stopped picking this book up a couple of issues ago.
Well, I think they talked about it happening much earlier, and then it got bumped to a different. I don't know. Anyway, it's here now.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep up with that. Yep, definitely. Absolutely.
Alrighty. Well, that's it. Wrap it up.
Okay.
Put a bow on it.
Put a bow on it. Okay. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromalongbox.com and listen to what you think there. You're going to talk fast. Let everybody catch up. And you can, there's that Facebook page that I try to do stuff on. And you can also comment on those actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week. And I hate Nazis.
Especially Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, I almost grabbed that clip and played it, but I thought it might be in poor taste. So, anyway.
Yes.
So, there you go.
Alrighty. Catch you all next week.
All right. All of you
have
next
a good
week.
Afternoon, guys.
All right. You too.
You too.
Bye-bye. Later. Bye.